Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous Edition for You Big Book Study. My name is Kathleen O., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Wednesday, November 28, 2018, and this is a 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are at page 163, chapter 11, A Vision for You. We're starting on the second paragraph. We know of an AA member, reading through three paragraphs and ending with if he can and will, and comments will be on all three paragraphs. Today's readers are Mary B, CJH, Kathy Jo P for the 12 steps, CJH for the 12 traditions, Gina A and Robin P. The share ID for Tuesday, November 28th, the 10 a.m. meeting, is 12,229. That's 12229. And for this morning's 7 a.m. Eastern time is 12,232. 12232. Our newcomer greeter for today is Melanie C. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of overeaters. I will now ask Kathy Jo P. to read the 12 steps.
Good morning. This is Kathy Jo P., a recovered compulsive overeater in Minneapolis, reading the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. Were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. May direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs.
Thank you, Kathy Jo. And CJH, will you please read the 12 traditions?
Good morning, CJ, compulsive eater, our 12 traditions. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, Less problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks for letting me be of service. I pass.
And thank you, CJ. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book on page 163, the second paragraph. We know of an AA member will be reading through 3 paragraphs, ending with if he can and will, and will be commenting on all 3 paragraphs. And Gina R., good morning. Can you get us started, please?
Very happy to. Thank you, Kathleen O., for your service and everybody on the line. This is Gina R., gratefully recovered from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body. And I'm a compulsive eater, and I live in Green Valley, Arizona. We know of an AA member who was living in a large community. He had lived there but a few weeks when he found that the place probably contained more alcoholics per square mile than any city in the country. This was only a few days ago at this writing, and in my book it says 1939. The authorities were much concerned. He got in touch with a prominent psychiatrist who had undertaken certain responsibilities for the mental health of the community. The doctor proved to be able and exceedingly anxious to adopt any workable method of handling the situation. So he inquired, what did our friend have on the ball? Our friend proceeded to tell him, and with such good effect that the doctor agreed to a test among his patients and certain other alcoholics from a clinic which he attends. Arrangements were also made with the chief psychiatrist of a large public hospital to select still others from the stream of misery which flows through that institution. So our fellow worker will soon have friends galore. Some of them may sink and perhaps never get up. But if our experience is a criterion, more than half of those approached will become fellows of Alcoholics Anonymous. When a few men in the city have found themselves and have discovered the joy of helping others to face life again, there will be no stopping until everyone in that town has had his opportunity to recover, if he can and will. I will start my timer. My experience does not include hospitalization for this disease or anything. And as a matter of fact, I have experienced envy for others who've had that, including my husband when he went through treatment for alcoholism back in 1985. What I know now is that is not necessary to recover, but I do understand that some people do need that experience in order to get on a path where they can recover. My experience around medical professionals and that sort of thing really stems from hearing people on the line who have had that experience. And working with some sponsees who have gone through that. So I don't feel like I'm the best qualified to talk about it. What really jumped out for me is the end of the paragraph at the top of page 164. It says, "And have discovered the joy of helping others to face life again. There will be no stopping until everyone in that town has had his opportunity to recover, if he can and will." And I was curious about the definition of can, and there's several things, but it can indicate possibility. So that means that there is, it's possible. And then the definition of will is to use to express desire, choice, willingness, or consent. And so when I marry those two together, there's huge potential for this. And that has been my experience, is when I was finally able to lay aside what I thought I knew about everything and simply open myself up to somebody walking me through this book and helping me understand what foods and behaviors were blocking me at that particular time, I was able to get this deal. And I do wake up wanting to face life again. There was a time in my life where I would hear the birds singing outside my window when I woke up, and I would get upset. I could not understand how they could have a song on their heart, and I did not want to live. That is not the situation for me today. Not only do I hear the birds singing, I have a song on my heart. And part of that song is to carry this message to everybody I can. And while it's not in medical institutions, I do it through my daily life. I just suit up, show up, and I be the best me possible, and I attract a lot of people to this solution. And with that, I pass. Thank you for the opportunity to offer service.
And thank you, Gina R., for getting us started this morning.
So if you're just coming on the line, we're on page 163, the second paragraph, beginning with, "We know of an AA member," reading through three paragraphs, ending, "If he can and will." And who else would like to share on those three paragraphs?
Jackie A.
Okay, I heard Jackie A.
Belinda.
Melanie C.
Leah T. B.
Belinda D.
Mindy R. Beatrice O.
Leah F.
Okay, so hold on 1 second. Who's the last person?
Beatrice O.
Oh, Leah. Leah S. I got Beatrice O.
Okay,
I don't know if I got a lot of initials here, but you can tell me. So I have Jackie A. I think I heard a Linda D.
Yeah.
And did I hear a Melinda? Or was that Linda?
Belinda. What's it B?
Belinda. And your first initial, Belinda?
It's Belinda D.
D, okay. Oh, not Linda D. Okay.
You like that.
And then, okay, and then Melanie C and Wendy and Beatrice O and Leah S. Okay, so Jackie A, go ahead.
Good morning. May I be heard?
Yes, you may.
And this is Jackie H. in Colorado. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you, Jackie.
Good morning, family. I haven't been on this meeting so much. I'm usually on the early morning, so it's great to be here and hear some new voices. Anyway, what stuck out to me was, "And have discovered the joy of helping others to face life again." In my life, I have been probably the most selfish human being that I can imagine. I have to laugh at it. It's even though it's not funny, but I just was incredibly selfish, and I just was a glutton with everything, not just food, with people, places, things, experiences. I just wanted to wrest everything out of life that I could get for me. And I, coming into this program, being recovered, being a recovered woman in this program, and having having the absolute joy and pleasure of taking another human being through the steps and watching this person transform, there is nothing. There's not any food. There's not any experience. There's not anything in the world that can match that. It is a beautiful experience. And then to walk with them, to continue to walk with them, and to hear all these, these people share on their lines, and to hear all of your transformation stories. I am just so grateful to be alive. I'm grateful that I found this program. I'm grateful, so, so grateful to my higher power that today I can live as a recovered woman, and I can give. I can do service. I don't sit and take from people. So with that, I'll pass. I love you all.
Thank you, Jackie H. And Belinda D., you're up next, followed by Melanie C.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. At the end of the reading, it says when a few men in this city have found themselves and have discovered the joy of helping others to face life again. I became recovered on November 2nd. My sponsor worked with me for 7 days through all the steps, and then I get launched into now go help someone else, and it makes me a new recovered person feel very exposed, because you're working with a sponsor and you had this very safe environment, and now you have to go out and help others. So it does feel very exposed, but the point is I can't remain recovered. It's very hard to unless I help someone else to be recovered and to help them get a life that doesn't involve being a compulsive eater, compulsive overeater. The opportunity is to see someone else recover, to give them the gift of freedom. It is rather intimidating when you're first putting forth those efforts to share the healing that the 12 steps in the Big Book lie out. I'm continuing to learn what it means to do a 10-step inventory. I'm still learning how to do steps 11 and 12, but I am grateful for the examples that my fellows exhibit in these calls. So I look forward to helping someone else find their life. I pass.
Thank you, Belinda. And Melanie C., you're up next, followed by Wendy.
Thank you very much, Kathleen. Oh, my name is Melanie C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. I'm calling in from Oregon today. Just the overall scope of this is fascinating to me, just to imagine someone in this time, because I don't know, did they have even, in 39, did they have even 40 members or something like that? And, you know, I'm such a grandiose person, I'm thinking, kind of a small number in the scope of taking care of this alcoholism thing. And so then I have to kind of step back, and the author is talking about approaching a prominent psychiatrist. I have never had very good luck in convincing a psychiatrist of a spiritual approach to a malady such as mine, and that the story that this particular author told convinced this psychiatrist that there was something worthy there in just maybe a few numbers. It was in such a way that it was convincing. And I marvel at that, especially in the time when there was maybe some prejudice still against it. And I think that this is a phenomenal, phenomenal point of these particular paragraphs here. and that he was allowed to, without any real true credentials, go in and make a test of 10,000 people, 20,000 people. No, just a couple, two or three, because it's working just like that. One recovered compulsive overeater sharing with another recovered compulsive overeater. Just wanted to pass on that in the first meeting, the 7 a.m. meeting this morning, there was a person that came on and talked a lot about the history, which I also find very fascinating. You might want to go back and listen to the recording. Gave some names about the name of the psychiatrist, who this particular person was in this incident that was here giving the story like this. The reason how come we do things in the way that we do. We tell our own stories from our own experience, because there's nothing that tells it better than when we can come from our own experience. There's something that happens when I hear somebody else say, I did this and it couldn't have happened for me. I have tried other methods and I'm telling you for myself, can you see that there's a difference in the approach? And I'm just marveling at this particular thing. There is a tremendous amount of joy. Every single time without fail, I can lean into what Dr. Bob talks about. When the chips are down and things are kind of getting slippery and perhaps things are mounting on top of me, yeah, there's that 10th step to do, but there's the absolutely unequaled idea that when I talk with another suffering compulsive overeater and share what has happened to me, the miracle that happens to me, that again, I'm flooded with a gratitude and a difference in the comparative of the life that I had and what's been happening to me for these last umpteen years. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Melanie. And Wendy, you are up next, followed by Beatrice O. Is it Wendy B? Wendy?
Did you mean
Okay, Mindy? I hear some rustling in the background.
Did
paper.
You mean Mindy?
Oh, Mindy? So it's Mindy, yeah, R? Okay, maybe that's what it is. Thank you, Mindy. Sorry.
Sorry, yeah.
Go ahead.
So I'm Mindy. I'm a recovering food addict. I can't say I'm recovered as of today, but I just want to share that what I picked up on about helping others, and I think that's really hard. I mean, my life is helping others, my career. But the thing is with program, well, when the person was sharing, I'm sorry I didn't get your name, but when they were sharing how they didn't get the chance to go into treatment centers and all that, and I was one of those blessed people and fortunate that I got to go away. And it did give me she was right, it gave me a life, you know, to this program and kickstart. And it isn't I guess it kind of was an easier, softer way out because it took, it was an accelerated type of program. But in the meantime, coming to Vision, it's given me, it can, let's put it this way, if I choose to take it, it gives me a life beyond my character defects and shortcomings, and have a lot of them to deal with every day. And the thing is I know I have to give it back, and I think that's what happens is when I get to the point where I doing the food plan, life is going good, doing my amends, blah, 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 get to 10, 11, and 12 on a daily basis, doing it, and what's the first to go, and what's the second to go, and then, of course, the food's the last to go. And that's what happens because I don't feel I can help anybody because of my deep issues, right? So I just wanted to put that out there that I listen to you every day. I have a Vision sponsor. I'm want to work this program with my hair on fire, as you people say. And I said that in a meeting the other day and everybody laughed at me. But those who know Vision, they knew what I was talking about. So maybe that's why they were laughing. I don't know. But I just am willing to do whatever I'm told. I mean, I've been here since 12 step rooms since 1983. And the new sponsor said, well, what are you want to do? And blah, blah. And I said, I know nothing. Just tell me what to do. I'm a newcomer. And that's hard to say because that ego thing. So just putting it out there and just grateful you're all here today. Thank you.
And thank you, Mindy R.
Beatrice O., you're up next, followed by Leah S.
Hi, this is, good morning. This is Beatrice O. from Los Gatos, California. And I just wanted to share that I was institutionalized for eating disorders in 1992. That was after 12 years in program. And when I got there, I thought, well, you know, I just have a little problem with food. Don't you know I've been in 12 steps for 12 years now? And it took me about 2 weeks to come out of denial when another patient there said, if you have so much recovery, what are you doing in a mental institution in Naples, Florida? Anyway, I think that was the turning point for me. And when I was in this treatment center, I remember meeting a guy that was 600 pounds. I met an anorexic who was like 58 pounds. She was about 5'7". I remember telling her, you know, you're probably going to die. And I looked into her eyes and I knew she was gone. And we had a bulimic person who ruptured her throat and passed away. But that, even with all of that, and that stream of misery, I wasn't sold on the idea that this was a disease. And I came out of that eating disorders inpatient group after 30 days, and I was able to stay abstinent for 2 or 3 years. But I did everything the program told me not to do. They said, stay out of relationships, work the program, help others, go to meetings, trust God. You have to maintain your spiritually fit. And I believe, I don't think that I ever finished my deep house cleaning that I needed to do. I did some, but not all of it. And so I spent the next 26 years in relapse and recovery over and over again. And I had to face other demons, my codependency and other issues that I had. But today, I can help others. Today, I know when someone is in misery because I've been in several episodes of misery.
Time, please.
Anyway, with that, I'll pass. I just want to say that I'm grateful recovering compulsive overeater today and abstinent. Thank you.
And thank you, Beatrice. Okay, Leah S., you're up next, and we're going to take some more names after Leah. Again, we're on page 163, the second paragraph, beginning with We Know of an AA Member, reading through three paragraphs, ending with If He Can and Will. So go ahead, Leah.
Thank you so much, moderator. Thank you, everyone on this line. My name is Leah S., and I'm very grateful to be on from Brooklyn, New York. We are on page 163, and we are in the chapter of A Vision for You. And I came into this program in 2012. I am recovered as of 2014 in October. And I cannot even begin to believe that this is recovery. It is a road that I'm going through. This chapter is such a significant chapter because it is telling me as a sponsor, I was petrified to sponsor other people, and this chapter is telling you all kinds of people that might come up against and how you might come up and how you might want to find the answers in this book. It is my experience that I can link towards those answers, and they're so significant. In the beginning of this book, I was told even with all my sponsors, this is a simple program. Don't complicate it, Leah. Don't. And I do. You know why? Because my self-will comes in and my other shiganan come in. And right now, we're coming up against Hanukkah, and we party every night. I see people going out every single night, and the lavish kind of things they do. Today, my Hanukkah parties are entirely different. It's all about the people that I'm going to meet and the joy that I'm going to get by seeing the little kids and by interacting. And, hey, you're cool for an aunt. You're really cool, Leia. You don't even look at, can you do this? They can't eat. Calisthenics, my goodness, exercise. I don't know, but it's fun. I'm not making this up. I love it. I love it, and I live it. Thank you, God. Thank you for this program. My life has changed. A holiday is a holiday in essence of being who God wants Leia to be. And that is really the essence of it. And simple, keep it simple. Thank you for letting me share. I pass.
And thank you, Leia. Okay, who else would like to share on these three paragraphs? Page 163.
Lisa J.R.
Second paragraph. Oops. That's
sorry.
Okay, Lisa. page 163, second paragraph, reading through three paragraphs. Okay, so Lisa J.R.
Liat T.D.
Liat T.D. Anyone else?
Cindy D.
Cindy D.
Marilyn T.
Marilyn T.
Marissa E.
Marissa E. Okay, we'll stop with that lineup. So Lisa J.R., Liat T.D., Cindy D., Marilyn T., and Marissa E. Go ahead, Lisa J.R.
Good morning, Lisa J.R. here. Sorry, moderator. I wish you could have seen my expression when I realized I was still talking over you. Sorry. My enthusiasm, I got to temper it sometimes because one of the greatest joys in my life as I get into that, you know, time approaching retirement has been having a new life in front of me. Being able to work with others has become the joy of my life. I can't tell you, I've met lovely people, you know, people that I feel I've known for a lifetime, just because of the intimacy that happens when one alcoholic shares with another alcoholic or sponsors or is a sponsee for that matter. 10-step partner, train partner, whatever. It's been extraordinary. And, you know, for years, you know, I kicked the tires in the rooms of OA going, you know, 25 years ago when I came out of Al-Anon and thought, gee, I think I have a problem. You know, but people looked at me and gave me the hairy eyeball. What are you doing here? You know, I didn't look by outward appearances that I was struggling, but you know, little did they know, they didn't see me in private when I was doing competition-worthy eating. And towards the nadir of the illness, I'll always have the illness. But towards the end, you know, I was eating like a junkyard dog, as fast as I could, as furiously as I could, and angry. Don't come between me and my food. And as I've been able to carry the message, and I really have in the last couple of years been convicted about going out into my community. And one of those places is a faith-based, multi-addiction oriented program. And of course, it's a faith-based thing. So the last thing they want to hear is anything about food, because don't you know, like the previous share, food was, you know, what we did to celebrate. And So, you know, it's been a tough crowd, but I've hung in there about a year and a half. And I'm telling you, I'm amazed how many people now are saying, I am a compulsive overeater. And some of them might be on this line because I've been quick to share vision for you with people because I was dying. I did pick up my bed and walk when I came into this program. And God bless you all and have a happy holiday season.
Thank you, Lisa J.R. And Liat T.D., you're up next, followed by Cindy D.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody. Good morning. Wow, this is wonderful. I just love the study, the big book with you. I was listening to all the shares and I got blank. You know, thinking about these early members and how, you know, these were people who were institutionalized, treated like mentally ill people, and they found a solution. They didn't find a big book anywhere, but they found a solution, and they got cured. They found some sort of a formula that was a permanent solution to an incurable illness. And you know, I love this, and they all they wanted to do because of this conviction. They wanted to do is go around the world and just share it because they knew it worked 100%, no doubt about it. And the thing with being so convicted, you have to have the experience to be convicted. You know, and I was sitting and listening, and I was thinking to myself, you know, I love hearing Recovered Compulsive Overeater. I love hearing this story. But you know which is my favorite story? It's mine. I love my story more than anyone else's because I know where I've been and I know what I have today. It's unbelievable. That's why I want to scream from the mountaintops to everyone, hey, if this happened to me, it could happen to you too. Can you believe that? And so, wow, what a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful thing this is, this program. What a gift I've been given. And I know that if it happened to me, a rebellious, I mean, I've been in the program for 31 years. I have only 19 years sober in the food. You know, God freed me 19 years ago almost. But I was rebellious. I didn't want to hear from you, even if you came close to me and told me that you recovered. So if it happened to me, man, and I know it happened, it could happen to anyone through the simple formula that these people found. I love you all. I'll pass.
Thank you, Liat T.D. Cindy D., you are up next, followed by Marilyn T.
Good morning. This is Cindy D., gratefully recovered in Texas. I so appreciate all the shares this morning, and I, too, identify with, you know, having found myself in this program and continue to find myself and discover new things about myself and learn gratefully. And discovering the joy of helping others to face life again, you know, being a sponsor, being a new sponsor, and just really enjoying seeing God work in others' lives, you know, to be able to hear it and feel it as you work with them. And recognizing that, you know, everyone that comes to our doors has the opportunity to recover if we can and will. I sometimes have to remember to contain my exuberance, if you would, you know, my excitement that I want to share the miracle with others. But it takes me back to page 18, and there's a solution where it talks about we have to approach with, you know, no attitude of holier than thou, but nothing whatsoever except the sincere desire to be helpful. We shouldn't be, you know, trying to please anyone or lecture anyone. And I have to remember that because, you know, in my desire to want, you know, this to be contagious and to have other people recover right away, but isn't always their journey. Their journey is different than mine. And some people, you know, can't for whatever reason right now or can't, you know, get out of self-will. And I just pray that God will help me to be a trusted servant and that he will give me the right approach and the right words to share this beautiful program. And thank God that there's so many of you here that have been here to share it with me. I'm so thankful for that. And with that, I'm going to pass. Thanks so much, Kathleen.
Thank you, Cindy D. And Marilyn T., you are next, followed by Marissa E.
Hi, this is Marilyn T. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Thank you.
Okay, great. Thank you so much. Again, Marilyn T., grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater from Northern California. So the part that we were reading today that I kind of struck me and made me think of something else was also in the book was page, was the bottom third paragraph where it says, so our fellow workers will soon have friends galore. Some of them may sink and perhaps even give up, but if our experience is a criterion, more than half of those approached will become fellow Alcoholics Anonymous, of Alcoholics Anonymous. Which brought me to and reminds me in my new job of sponsoring, since I finished the steps with A Vision for You, is on 98, the first two paragraphs. And it reminds me that I have an obligation and I have a duty as part of my recovery, which is to reach out to people and be of service as a sponsor, which states on page 98, it says, it is not a matter of giving that is in question, but when and how to give. That often makes the difference between failure and success. The minute we put our work on a service plane, the alcoholic commences to rely upon our assistance rather than upon God. He clamors for this and that, claiming he cannot master alcohol until his material needs are cared for. Nonsense. Some of us have taken very hard knocks to learn this truth. Job or no job, wife or no wife, we simply do not stop drinking so long as we place the dependence upon other people ahead of the dependence on God. Burn the idea into the consciousness of every man that he can get well regardless of anyone. The only condition is that he trust in God and clean house. And I really keep that those two paragraphs right there burned into my consciousness. When I am sponsoring people, and I know I am not perfect, that is an illusion, but all I can do is to put my trust in God and to clean house and admit when I'm wrong and carry on. Carry on this message. Carry this message. Thank you so much. I so enjoy this. I so enjoy our meetings. With that, I pass.
Thank you, Marilyn T. And Marissa E., you are up next, and we'll have time for a few more names after that if you'd like to share on these three paragraphs, starting with the second paragraph on page 163. So go ahead, Marissa E.
Thank you, Kathleen. This is Marissa E. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater outside Los Angeles. So I remember when I was studying this with my sponsor, on the ball, right? I'm always like, what are these guys talking about? And so on the ball, right, it actually, it comes from the saying, keep your eye on the ball, which, you know, is given in sports games and just means focus, right? And it also means to be concentrating or an understanding on something really well. Right. So here's this psychiatrist asking, like, what do you have? What understanding, what concentration, what time do you know about this? Because I'm at a loss here. I don't know what to do. And this reminds me on page 18, it talks about in the third paragraph, but the ex-problem drinker, right? I am an ex-problem compulsive overeater who has found the solution, right? Who has recovered. Who is properly armed with facts about himself, right? I know about my physical allergy, my mental obsession, and the spiritual solution, can generally win the entire confidence. I love that word entire abstinence, right? Entire confidence of another alcoholic in a few hours. And this relates to professionals who have been dealing with us, right? Like Dr. Silkworth, this psychiatrist, this alcoholic friend of ours was able to, with the facts about himself, win the confidence. And it says here, until such an understanding is reached, little or nothing can be accomplished. But look how much was accomplished, right, with that understanding. And so I am. I'm just so, so grateful that, like, over and over again, time and time again, we're given these little tidbits really that relate to what's in the book prior. And me being on the ball, right, it's calling newcomers, it's talking to people at my face-to-face meeting and telling them, this is what I've been concentrating on, this is what I've focused on, and this is my understanding of this disease. And I'm willing to share my experience, strength, and hope. I'm willing to carry that message so you can get your eyes on the ball, right? So you can have this understanding, so you can concentrate and then just pass this along with another problem compulsive overeater, and we just continue to recover as they did outlined here. So just wanted to share on that funny little phrase, and with that I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Marissa E. And who else would like to share on these three paragraphs? We have time for a couple more people. No one wants to step up?
Alana M.
Alana M.
Bonnie G.
Patty T.
Okay, so let's stop there. I don't know if we'll have time for you, Patty.
That's
so
okay.
I have, was it Alana M?
Bonnie G?
Yes.
Okay, and then Bonnie G. Okay, so go ahead.
Okay, hi.
Go ahead, Alana.
Okay, thanks. Thanks so much. My name's Alana M. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Ottawa, Canada. I'm just so glad for this meeting this morning. I guess from those paragraphs in the big book, I guess it's really written at a time when there weren't meetings everywhere, you know, and there weren't phone meetings and places that people could go to get this help, like online, by phone, face-to-face, you know, it's, I have to really be careful. There's a lot of people in my life that I know could benefit from this program, and I used to try to get people to be convinced it would help them before I was in the rooms. No, well, when I was in the rooms but not recovered, you know, and it's not a good message. You know, it's people will be like, well, I don't really see the recovery on you. So, and even now that I'm recovered, I find myself even stepping back more, just being, trying to be the message rather than, if someone asks me, I'm there in spades. But I think I really find it can push people away when I get preachy at all. But I'm just glad for the people who I ran into when I was looking for the solution who brought me to these rooms. I really needed this meeting today. So thanks, and go ahead. I'm done. I'll pass.
Thank you, Alana M. Okay, Bonnie G., you are up. Go ahead.
Hi, this is Bonnie G. from South Florida, recovered. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Good. Okay, great. Well, this was another God-delivered phone message to me because I wasn't planning anything. And just like earlier this week, I magically put a star one to sponsor, which I've been doing for several weeks, and got two new sponsees on the same day. And here I wasn't sure I was going to share today and just start one and got in. So definitely higher powered. I'm going to share on that third paragraph like everyone else because, you know, discovering the joy of helping others to face life again. And that is something that scared me so much after I first became recovered. I've been in and out of the rooms for in the 30s, 40 years, and never sponsored. And one of our guides said, you know, it's a 12-step program, not an 11-step program. And with that help, I finally had taken on my first sponsee. And, you know, as much as we're an altruistic group, as they keep telling us, by helping others, it's total selfishness. On the other hand, because I cannot keep the recovery that I've received unless I'm going out there and sharing with others my experience, strength, and hope. And I am so grateful that no matter how many years it took, I finally found you and Vision for You a couple of years ago, and it's made all the difference in my life. Thank you all, my past.
Thank you, Bonnie G. And Patty, are you still on the line? We have a couple minutes. Do you want to take like a minute and a half?
Oh, hi. Yes, this is Patty T. from a recovered from Southern California. You know, I just wanted to say these paragraphs are amazing. And I'm just going to say that, you know, in the 1st of April, around the 1st of April of this year, a fellow in my face-to-face meeting came up to me. She could see my hell. It was so apparent. It emanated from me. And she offered to sponsor me. And I tried that very, very resistantly for about 2 weeks and told her finally that I'm not ready. I'm not ready to do this work. I'm just not ready. And she said, thank you so much. Something about her effort to expand her recovery and my willingness to even begrudgingly walk through a couple of weeks with her and understand that it was me that was stopping the ball, opened up something. It opened up a little crevice where God could get in. And on April 29th, I got abstinent, and 2 weeks later, I started coming to these meetings. And today, it's a miracle. And with that, I pass with gratitude to everyone who sponsors. Thank you.
And thank you, Patty T. Okay, we will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Robin P. please read a vision for you?
Hi, this is Robin P. I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in the Los Angeles area. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who's still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you.